All right. Good morning, everyone. I know we left off in a previous Mishnah with Rabbi Meir. I just want to skip a little bit because I realized, actually, this week we only have a few more classes until the final. And I wanted to get in. We're going to come back to Rabbi Meir in just a little bit. But I wanted to focus just for probably this week and the beginning of next week, this class and next class, just on this Mishnah, Perek Gimel Mishnah Tes. So this is Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So remember again, so let's look at the Mishnah and then we'll focus, say, probably a little bit on the historical background. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa says, Kol Sheiras Chet O Kodemes Lechach Maso. So right now, we'll just translate this for now. Anyone whose fear of sin takes precedence to his wisdom, chachmasa miskayemes. His chachma ultimately endures. V'chol shechachmasa kodemes liyiras cheto. And anyone whose chachma precedes his yiras chet, his fear of sin, ein chachmasa miskayemes. Ultimately, again, his chachma is not miskayemes. Chachma does not endure. Now, the reason I wanted, so we'll discuss what the message is over here in just a moment. The reason I wanted to speak a little bit about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is because I'm trying to just maintain a little bit of chronology. We spent a significant amount of time with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is one of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Talmidim. He is one of the students. So this is very important. Chanina ben Dosa, therefore, again, lives during the time of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, lives with the fallout of the second Beis HaMikdash. And I just want to point out something amazing. You'll begin to see how much dynamic spiritual activity there is in this period of destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, which is amazing. Because one would have thought that everything would come to a grinding halt during this time, but it doesn't. Klal Yisrael continues to flourish, the Mesorah continues to develop, and again we see just an incredible and voluminous amount of Torah coming out during these days. So again, historically, chronologically, we now know Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, a Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We're going to speak a little bit about his family as well, but first I want to share with you an incredible Gemara. Take a look at number two Gemaras actually. First, the Gemara Maseches Brachos. Tan Rabbanan, Maisa Shechala Ben Osher Ben Gamliel. There was once an episode where the son of Rabbi Gamliel became ill. Shagar Shnei Tamid Yechachamim Itzar Bichanina Ben Dosa Levakish Alav Rachamim. So what happens? So Rabbi Gamliel sent two Tamid Yechachamim, two Torah scholars, to go ahead to Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa Levakish Alav Rachamim. What does it mean? Levakish Alav Rachamim. To daven for who? For Rabbi Gamliel's son. Right? So again, remember, Rabbi Gamliel's son became sick. Now again, you're already going to say, what's already dramatically amazing about this Gemara? Why can't he daven himself? So let's assume for a moment, let's presuppose that what? He did. Obviously, again, remember the notion of having someone daven on your behalf does not free you from the obligation to daven yourself. But remember again, who is Rabbi Gamliel? Rabbi Gamliel is the Nasi. Rabbi Gamliel is the ranking sage of Klal Yisrael. See, here you have essentially the Gadol Hadar, sending two Tamidi Chachamim to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who is also, by the way, a great Talmud Chacham. By the way, it's also important to know, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is quoted very, very, very few times throughout Shas. There are almost no halachos attributed to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, as opposed to Rabbi Gamliel, who is quoted numerous times throughout Shas, who himself is the author of much halachic legislation. So you see something amazing, which is the Gadol Hadar, Rabbi Gamliel, son Nebuch became ill, sent two Tamidi Chacham to get Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa to daven. What happens? Kevan Shira Osam, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa apparently sees the two Torah scholars coming, sees them through the window, sees them approaching, and he realizes why they're coming. So again, he must have heard about the fact that Rabbi Gamliel's son was ill, and he realized that these two Tamidi Chachamim are coming for what purpose? To go ahead and ask him to daven. So what does he do? Allah la'aliyah ubikesh alav rachamim. So what does he do? He goes ahead and he goes up to the aliyah, to the attic, and he begins to daven. Biridaso. So what happens? He comes down as the two Talmidei Chachamim come into the house. Amar lahem, l'chu. You can go home now. Shechal tzaso chama. Does anyone know what that phrase means? Shechal tzaso chama? The sunset close. The fever broke. So chama, sun, heat, fever. The fever broke. In other words, apparently Rabbi Gamliel, someone was afflicted by this fever. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa tells them, go back. The fever is broken. Amrulo v'chi naviata. So listen to this. So he said to Rechini Mendoza, are you a Navi? How do you know that the fever is broken? So the Gemara says, Amar lahen lo Navi anochi v'lo ben Navi anochi. I'm not a Navi. I'm not the son of a Navi. Elakach mikublani. But rather, again, here is the Kabbalah that I have. What's the Kabbalah? Im shigurat tfilasi b'fi. If the tfila ultimately, again, is shigurat b'fi, how would you translate that? Shigurat b'fi? What's the good translation? I'm sorry? On the tip of the tongue, or rolls off the tongue, right? Literally, verbally embedded. Shigurasa b'fi. If it rolls off my tongue, if the tefillah itself rolls off my tongue, then what? Yodea ani shehu mekubal. Then I know ultimately, again, that the tefillah has been accepted. V'im lav, yodea ani shehu meturaf. And if not, I know, what does meturaf mean? Torn apart. So what is Rechini Mendoza saying? Well, first of all, what is it? Let's analyze. What does he say? I'm not a Navi. So therefore, how do I know that the fever is broken, that the boy has been healed? So specifically what? If the tefillah comes easily, then that's a sign the tefillah has been accepted. If the tefillah kind of like, if he's breaking his teeth over the words and the tefillah doesn't flow out, that's a sign that it hasn't been accepted. What's the deeper meaning of that? What would you say? I'm sorry? So it could be Tzadik Gozer, but if that's the case, then Tzadik Gozer, even if he fumbles over the words, right? Why only is it if the words come out easily, the words flow out?
Maybe it shows your sincerity.
Okay, so meaning if I'm sincere, the words flow. If I'm not sincere, then I stumble. Okay, interesting. So meaning my ability to articulate it in a flowing way demonstrates my sincerity. If I'm not truly vested in the tefillah, I break my teeth over. Good, beautiful. What else?
But sometimes when something's like, in a way so deep, it's hard to put into words. So why would that make sense then? If it was just hard to explain.
Okay, good. I just want to say, just because I can't find the words doesn't mean I'm not sincere. Good, absolutely. So I'll tell you something interesting. Every time before Shemona Esrei, you say, Hashem Safasai Tiftach Ufi Agiti Lasecha. Why do we say that phrase?
We ask Hashem to help with that.
Oh, so I'll tell you something amazing. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Rabaditchev says, quotes, Hashem Safasai Tiftach Ufi Agiti Lasecha is the tefillah lifnei hatefillah. It's the prayer before the prayer. What does it mean, prayer before the prayer? So the Rebbe says something amazing. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help to do everything in this world. There is nothing really that I can do on my own. Nothing that could be accomplished without divine assistance, including prayer. Which, if you think about it, is such an anomaly. Because tefillah is the way that I reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for assistance. It should be a process that comes from me, motivated by me, managed by me. But there's a recognition that in order to daven, what do you need? Specifically, what do you need? What do you need?
You need words.
You need. You need. Think. No one. Anyone here going into the therapies? Okay. So if you study speech, right, the amount of processes that go into formulating a word is so dramatic. We know this when a person can't do it, or when a person has difficulty doing it. But the ability to articulate speech requires so many different processes. There are physical processes, there are cognitive processes, there's the interrelationship between the mind and the body, all these different things that have to occur. So in reality, the only way I'm able to daven, Kavanah is great, Siyata Dishmai is beautiful. Oh, we can never go wrong with those answers. Anything you ever say Siyata Dishmai to, you're always going to be correct. Because you need Siyata Dishmai for everything. But on a more tachlitic level, what you need at the end of the day to be able to daven is, I need my mouth to work. So I don't control my mouth. Let me take that back. I control my mouth. We all have to control our mouths. What I mean is, I don't control my physical ability to speak. That's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or for my mind to work, that has to come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, the Rebbe says something amazing. Hashem Sefosai Tiftach Ufi Yagiti Lasecha is such an incredible thing. I'm davening before I'm dying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to daven to you. I want to daven to you. But you and I both know that as much as I want to do this, At the end of the day, I can't do it without you. If you don't help me, I cannot do it. Hashem Safas Haytiftach is my request to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please help me along this dialogical journey. Please help me daven to you. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa seems to be saying as follows. And again, what I want to point out is, this was for Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. This does not necessarily apply to us. What Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was saying was as follows. I know that when the words flow out of my mouth, the Ribono Shel Olam is actively assisting me with that tefillah. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actively assisting me with that tefillah, then what? Then what? So, at least in Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's framework, that was indicative that which I davened for was granted. As opposed to when I fumble over the words, right? When I break my teeth over the words and it does not flow out, that indicates to me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not aiding me in that tefillah. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not aiding me in that tefillah, then what? Then what? Then it would seem to indicate that it's not going to be answered. So that seems to be what's unfolding over here. Now, again, I want to point, question?
Not being answered meaning no response or yes or no?
Not getting what it is that he's davening for.
So getting a no?
Getting a no.
But,
which is an answer also. Again, please do not read too much theological stuff of tefillah into this. It's not Rabbi Chanina Mendoza saying. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza is saying, I'm davening for God to do X. I know when God's going to grant it or not. If the tefillah flows out, God's going to grant what I'm asking for. If it doesn't flow out, God's not going to grant what I'm asking for. We're not getting into now what happens with tefillos when they're not answered. Nothing too deep theologically. It's very deep theologically, but this is Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's prayer world. And that's why I'm saying this doesn't apply to us, because I think what was mentioned before, that sometimes a person can be very sincere, but because there's an overwhelming outpouring of emotion, I can't find the right words. I fumble for over the words simply because I'm so overwhelmed by the enormity of what I'm davening for. That's what I'm saying. This is Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. He was saying, I know that when I daven, I know how things are going to turn out. If the words flow out, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to grant that which I am davening for. If the words do not flow out, but I stumble over them, then that indicates to me that he is not going to grant what I'm davening for. Yes?
This is the case with the higher level.
Yeah, he just was his koach ha-tefillah. Yeah, this is, again, this is the way, and Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, obviously, he was right, as we're going to see in just a little bit. Remember again, let's go back to the context of the story. Like I said, this is not a framework for us. This is not a framework to emulate. This is not a framework to look at. This is not a framework. Don't try to apply this level to us. Because as we're going to see, Chanina ben Dosa has a different kind of koach ha-tefillah, which we're going to discuss. So watch this. So Chanina ben Dosa therefore tells the two Talmidei Chachamim, go back, because Rabbi Gamliel's son has had a refuah shleima. Al is git, all is good, everything is fine, go home, he's been cured. So the Gemara says, Yashu v'kasu v'kivnu osasham. And number two, five lines in, right by the period. So Yashu v'kisu v'kivnu osasham. So listen to this. So the two Talmidei Chachamim who came were incredibly intrigued by this, right? They had never seen this before, about someone who davened and was absolutely sure that his prayer was granted. Remember again, obviously, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is at somewhat of a distance away from Rabbi Gamliel. Yet he davened, the words came out easily, and he felt that at the end of the day, his tefillos had been granted. So the two Talmidei Chachamim wrote down the time. Right, they wrote down the time that Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa came down from the attic and said the tefillos have been answered. Watch this. Ukishabo eats Rabbi Gamliel. And when they came after Rabbi Gamliel, so first of all, what happened? Amar Lahen, he said to them, so first of all, they had found that indeed the boy, Rabbi Gamliel's son, had been cured. And listen to this. Amar Lahen ha'avoda, lo chasartim v'lo hosartim, elakach haya maisa, ba'osa shah, chaltsasu chama, v'sha'o lanu mayim lishtos. So Rabbi Gamliel says, yeah, you're not going to believe it. At 5:30 in the afternoon, the fever broke, and my son, for the first time in days, asked us for a drink of water. What time did Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa come down from the attic? 5:30. Okay, incredible, incredible story. Another story. V'shuv ma'isav Yechanina ben Dosa, shahalach lilmot Torah et Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. See, here we go. Right here, you see the Talmud Rebbe relationship. Another story. Rabbi Yechanina ben Dosa went to learn Torah Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'chala shen b'nosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And now again, Nebuch Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son became ill. Amar lo, Chanina b'ni bakesh alav rachamim v'yichya. Chanina, my son, request compassion upon my son that I should live. So by the way, what's even more dramatic about this story? Rebbe and Talmud, right? So again, remember, Rabbi Gamliel was the Gadol Hadar, was the Nasi, but okay, which is still dramatic. But a Rebbe asking his Talmud, the Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, asking his Talmud, my child is ill, please daven for my child that he should live. So what happens? Himyach Rosho ben Birkov, ubikesh alav rachmin. What does it mean? Himyach Rosho ben Birkov? Put his head between his knees. What does that mean? Like the crash position? I'm sorry? So it could just be that he sat. It could just be that little, like it doesn't literally mean he put his head by his knees. It just means like he kind of, what position is it reminiscent of? The fetal position. So this is actually quite interesting and amazing because you actually see this posture in a couple of different stories. So for example, you learned the story, I just quoted this story actually in my WIT class. The Gemara tells us about Elazar ben Jerujia. You've heard this story, right? Elazar ben Jerujia was an exceptionally immoral man. Right? The Gemara says there wasn't the zona that he did not frequent. So he heard about this zona, he heard about this harlot who was across the ocean. She charged an exorbitant amount of money. He gathered the money, went to her. He's about to go ahead and commit a maaseh, an act of immorality with her. And she whispers in his ear. And she whispers the same way that the whisper cannot come back, so too Elazar ben Jerujia cannot come back either. Now, the truth is, most probably, the Zona didn't whisper this. Right? Why didn't the Zona whisper this? Because she's a Zona. Right? You'll excuse me. I'm saying, like she's not trying to dissuade the clientele, right? This is her profession. But you know, sometimes in life, you hear the voice within yourself, like Elisha ben Avuya, right? You hear voices within yourself that you think are coming from elsewhere. The Chutz Me'ach, it wasn't coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was coming inside. Elisha ben Avuya also realized that he was about to hit the point of no return. So remember again, what happens? What does he do? Remember the story? He cried. But remember, what does he do? He goes to the heavens, to the earth, to the mountains. He's asking for everyone to intercede on his behalf. And essentially, all the parts of the natural world say to him, what do they answer to him? Pretty much like, we've got our own problems, we can't worry about you. And Elazar ben Jerujia says, I realize, Ein hadavar talui ela bi. I've come to realize, Ein hadavar talui ela bi. This whole thing is dependent only on me. I can't find anything else. So what's the next line of the Gemara? Hiniach rosho bin birkov, v'ga'a b'bechi achi yatsa nishmaso. He put his head by his knees, and he cried, until literally again his soul left his body. And then the baskol comes out and says, Rabbi Elazar ben Jerujia, mizuman l'chayi olam haba. So same thing over there. You see the putting the head between the knees, or by the knees. So by Elazar ben Jerujia, I think what was really happening over there was it was the fetal position. And what was Elazar ben Jerujia? What did he want more than anything? Why would someone assume the fetal position? If they want what? They want to be reborn. They want to start again. Rabbi Elazar ben Jerujia says, oh, if only I could start again. If only I could start all over. How different things would be. Now, the tragedy of Elazar ben Jerujia was what? What's the real tragedy? He didn't start over. He could have started over. You know, sometimes people say, oh, if only I could have a do-over in life. But what they're really saying is, if only I could have a do-over, but I know that I can't. Now, part of the beauty we have is HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us an unlimited supply of life do-overs. You can start over as many times as you want. Not just like once a year. You could start over Rosh Chodesh, right? Like we say, Rosh Chodeshim Na'am Chonasata. There's not just one Rosh Chodesh. Every day is Rosh Chodesh. Every day is a new beginning. Not like that. You could reinvent yourself multiple times every single hour. There's an inexhaustible supply of new beginnings. You could assume the fetal position, not physically, but emotionally, spiritually, whenever you want and start over. The tragedy of Elazar ben Jerujia is that he wanted more than anything to start over, but he thought that he couldn't. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, we're going to see, is assuming that position for a different reason. Remember, he doesn't have any reason to start over right now. But we'll just keep it in mind. We're going to see why he does that in just a moment. So what does he do? Hiniach Rosho ben Birkov, ubikish alav rachamim v'chaya. Ultimately, again, so Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa davins for the sick child of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and amazingly enough, the child is healed. So listen to the end of the story. Am Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, il mole hitiach ben Zakkai es rosha ben birkav kalayam kulo, lo hayu mashkichem alav. How do you translate that phrase? Il mole hitiach ben Zakkai es rosha ben birkav kalayam kulo, lo hayu mashkichem alav. How would you translate that? What does that mean? Who's Ben Zakkai? Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Had I put my head by my knees, notice, had I davened the entire day, they would not have answered me. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai is probably not talking literally, but you're going to see he's making a point about the Koach HaTehillah of Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa. Had I put my head by my knees and davened the whole day, I wouldn't have gotten the results. It's only Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa who can get such instantaneous results from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now watch this. Amru lo ishto, v'chi chanina gidola mimcha. Now what's happening over here? Amru lo ishto v'chi chanina gidola mimcha. What's happening here? His wife. So what do you think his wife is asking? Do you know how much I sacrificed for your learning? Right? Do you know how much I gave up for your ruchnius? And I thought you were the Gadol Hador. I thought you were the Gadol Hador. So I don't understand. What does that mean? What does that mean? You remember again, I want to point out, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the Rebbe. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is the Talmud. Which means Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is what? A greater? Talmud Chacham. He knows more Torah. He has more Talmidim. He is a descendant. Remember again, I don't have to talk about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai because we spent a significant amount of time. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is one of the seminal figures in Churban Bayis Sheni history. As we said, without hyperbole, he is one of the reasons we are here to this very day. So his wife says to him, what's going on over here? What's going on? V'chi chanina. Now, it's interesting. What does she call him? What does she call Chanina ben Dosa? Chanina. Why? Why? Remember, again, he's a Talmud. So, with Pashtos, again, she saw him when he was a young man. He'd come over to his Rebbe's house. Maybe he had Shabbos meals there. I don't know, whatever it was. Chanina? He's a good boy, don't get me wrong. But Chanina's greater than you, my husband? Amar Allah, listen to this. Lav, no. Chanina's not greater than me. Ella, listen to this. Ella, who dome ke'eved lifnei ha-melech. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says something amazing. What does that mean? What does that mean? What would you say? So here's what's interesting, right? In the monarchical framework, so a sar, an officer, obviously has greater chashivas, greater importance. The eved is of a lowlier stature, but the Eved has constant access to the king. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to his wife, listen, I'm like the Tsar. I'm the Gadol Hadar. I'm one of the leaders of the Jewish people. So yes, do I have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Of course. But Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, he's like the Eved before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's like the Eved. What does it mean he's like the Eved? He's totally self-effacing. By the way, now you begin to understand what's the nature of the putting his head by his knees. Humble, like humbling, like bowing. It's like prostration. He just bows himself. He just prostrates himself for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no covet. There's no greatness. There's no ceremony. He is the Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or by the way, it could also mean the fetal position in that he's like a child. He's like an innocent child before the king. You know, what happens if you see an adult never would run up to the king and give him a hug. But what happens if a child does that? So cute, right? It's so cute. So there's something amazing about it. There's a simplicity. And Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, we're going to see this more. But this, I can't. This is going to be one of these things that is kind of hard to put into words because it's more of like when you see it, you know it. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is not the greatest Talmud Chacham. He is not the best guy in the shir. He's not the best guy in the yeshiva. He's not the greatest scholar. But there is a simplicity. There is a tamimus kite. there is a wholeness. There's almost like an avdus. There's a servitude, a childlike purity and simplicity in his avodas Hashem. He asks his father for something with the complete emunah that his father can grant it. Father doesn't always grant it, but ultimately, again, the father will try to grant it when appropriate. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he highlights this. He says, no, I'm the Tsar and he's the Eved. But what can I tell you? The Eved has greater access than the Tsar. So by the way, what's also incredible about this story, also Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Right, but what's true? What's incredible? What do you say to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Right, there's an incredible humility here. An incredible humility. Can you anywhere else for Rebbe to ask his Talmud to daven? Okay, the Rebbe says to the Shir, please daven for my child. Okay, that's fine. But to go over to one Talmud and say, you are the man. You have the kochatil that I don't have. A humility of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, which is incredible. Now, of course, one could have, the Gemara says that there is a natural, when we see other people become successful, so the Chazal in the sense, there's a natural jealousy of other people's success. The Gemara says that, however, there are certain people who you are never jealous of. Who are the people you're never jealous of? Your child, right? Every parent wants their child to be more successful in every way than the parent is. And who else?
Your Talmud,
your student. So again, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai obviously also understood that he had a hand, he had a part in this incredible spiritual maturation of his Talmud. Let me show you one other story. So this is amazing. One more story. Gemara Maseches Tainis. 3 Aleph. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Hava Ka'azel Ba'archa Asamicha. Let's get ready for this story. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is walking on the road. And what happens? It begins to rain. Amar lefanav ribono shalolam. So what happens? Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa says, ribono shalolam, kol ha'olam kulo benachos v'chanina b'tzar. So get ready for this story. See, he says, no, ribono shalom, it's not fair. It's not fair. Everyone is benachos. Benachos means what?
Enjoying
or comfortable. And yet, chanina is b'tzar. Now, what is he saying? Everyone's at home inside, and I'm stuck on the road. So everyone is very happy because at the end of the day they're inside, shielded from the rain, but I'm stuck here in the downpour. So what happens? Pasak mitra. Stop raining. It stopped raining. Kimata l'day, saying when Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa gets home, Amar l'fan ribono shalom, kol olam kula b'tzar, v'chanina b'nachos. Ribono shalom, it's not fair. Everyone now is distressed. Why is everyone distressed? Because it's not raining. Remember again, this is in Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, remember again, every drop of rain is absolutely necessary. Ribono shalom, it's not fair. I'm home, now I'm comfortable, and the rest of the world, the rest of Eretz Yisrael is bitzar, because it's not raining. V'chanina b'nachos, asi mitra. Ultimately, again, it began to rain. So again, what is the Gemara showing again? But what do you see in these tefillos? What do you see in them? What's the hallmark of these tefillos?
So just like regular talking.
It's so simple. It's so simple. It is a simple, meaning if you look, by the way, like in the Sifrei Chassidus bring down. You know, when we think about davening, so we think about opening our siddur. Part of the art of tefillah that we have lost, see, let's take a step back. The Rambam writes, in the original, right, there's a mitzvah to daven. Leaving aside the raisa, the rabbanon, men, women, there's a mitzvah to daven. Right? What's the mitzvah to daven? So the mitzvah of the raisa could be in difficult times. Good. What else? How do you fulfill the mitzvah of davening? I'm sorry? Simple. Talking. Dialogue. Dialogue. Talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you, Hashem. Good morning, Hashem. Thank you for being here, Hashem. Whatever. Dialogue. Anshi Knesset HaGedolah came along and formalized the framework of prayer. Now, it's important to understand, why did this happen? So the Rambam Hilchos Tefillah, actually very important, Rambam says that after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, we were exiled. What happens when we're exiled? So we're exiled for 70 years. But remember, again, the majority of the Jewish people did not come back for Bayis Sheni. They stayed in Bavel. So what ends up happening is you have children born in the diaspora. What happens linguistically when you have children born in the diaspora? What happens? So remember again, what you have is something very interesting. Up until Galus Bavel, Jews spoke Lashon HaKodesh, right? Not even Yiddish, right? Just Lashon HaKodesh, right? What happens? Now we're exiled. We're in Bavel. There's a first generation born in Bavel. They're being brought up in Bavel. They begin to speak Aramaic, Babylonian, right? They begin to speak Aramaic. So what ends up, so remember, there's Babylonian. Aramaic, of course, is a hybrid between, you know, Aramaic, between Babylonian, Hebrew. So what ends up happening, says the Rambam, is tefillah was self-expression. Self-expression is predicated on mastery of language. You have to be able to articulate a thought. So the Rambam actually writes that this generation was born in Bavel. What ends up happening is what? What ends up happening is they can't fully express themselves in any one language. So it's frustrating, right? You ever see it? People, you know, sometimes you see this with children, or you see this nebuch with someone who suffers from something they can't. The inability to express yourself clearly is an incredibly frustrating experience. When you have this first generation born in Bavel, and they don't have linguistic clarity or a command of one language, tefillah becomes a frustrating experience. What happens when tefillah becomes a frustrating experience? People stop davening. So at that point in time, Chazal stepped in and did something that they really were reluctant to do. What did they do? They created formalized prayer. Shmona Esrei. And then we have the Shevach, Bakash, and Hadah. Those are all rabbinic constructs that were added in afterwards. And this is very important because what it tells us is the way to daven really in the purest form is what? Is not from the Siddur. The Siddur was an accommodation. The Siddur, formalized, organized prayer as we have it today, was Anshe Knesset HaGedolah's response to people stopping to daven because they did not have a command of any one particular language, and therefore prayer became an incredibly difficult exercise. Chazal said, stop, we're going to formalize tefillos, we are going to give you your words. Not only that, by the way, what else did Chazal institute? Then what do we have? What do we have? We have a Shliach Tzibor. What's the role of a Shliach Tzibor? Remember, the role of the Shliach Tzibor was to daven out loud for those who did not know how to read, or those who did not know how to daven. So even if you can't daven on your own, you could follow along with the chazm, the Shliach Tzibor, and you could be yotzei your obligations with that Shliach Tzibor. But it's important to understand. Now again, obviously this is the system of tefillah we have, but many of us struggle with the fact that tefillah is someone else's words. Tefillah is not my words. It's Anshe Knesset HaGedolah's words. And so much of the tefillah dynamic is figuring out how to infuse my own individuality, my own personal spirituality, into a construct that was created by Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. So this is incredibly important, because what you see in Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa's tefillos are almost like this original simplicity. How do you dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Like the way you would talk to your parent. Like the way you would ask something from your mother or from your father. Like the way you would ask something of a friend. A straight dialogical connection. So, you know, we would think, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, you want to daven for this rain to stop. What should you do? If Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa came to you, he were to tell me, can you help me craft the tefillah to stop the rain? What would you say? Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hakel Hagadol Hagibor Vanora Mashiv Haruchos Mevi Hageshamim, and all the beautiful things. And Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa essentially says what? God, can you make it stop raining? Right? It's totally inconvenient for me. I'm getting sopped. Right? I'm soaked out here. It's not right. Everyone else is comfortable in their homes. I'm getting soaked out here in the rain. Can you make it stop raining? A simple dialogue. Yes. So we'll discuss. We'll discuss ultimately. Excellent question. Like, what exactly is the problem over here? Hold on to that for just a little bit. But for now, what I just want to highlight to you is this incredible dialogical simplicity. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, and now we begin to understand, is the son who speaks to the father, is the Eved who speaks to the Melech. Yes. So that's what I'm saying. I want to be clear. We're not studying this to understand how we are supposed to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a framework for davening. We have a framework to daven. Right? We have a Shmona Esrei. We have a Pesukei de Zimra. We have tefillos as organized by Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. And we have places in which to put in our bakashos. We don't daven this way. We don't daven this way. And we don't daven this way in a couple of ways. We don't make requests like this. And again, we're going to get into the mechanics of the tefillah. For now, All I want you to take away from this is the beautiful simplicity of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa's tefilos. That's all. And what I do want to bring out is, to a certain degree, this is a lost tefillah art. So as I was mentioning before, the Sifrei Chassidus brings down that in addition to all of the obligatory davening that we do, all the formalized tefillahs that we do, we must make sure every single day to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just to talk to the Ribono Shel Olam. Now, the best way to do this, of course, is when one is in solitude with themselves. You know, let's say in Chassidus is very big into it, Spodidus, taking time by themselves, Rabbi Nachman, the Baal Shem Tov in the forest. I don't know how many forests are in Baltimore, but Lemaisa, again, to find time every day to just talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just have a conversation. Now, the truth is, you could do this in the context of tefillah, like you could do this in Shema Kolenu if you wanted to, but there's a profundity, I think, to doing this even outside of the context of formal prayer. Setting aside time each and every day to just actively talk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam, I know you know about my life because you know everything. I have things I want to tell you. Things I want to talk about with you. Things I want to get off my chest. Things that I'm worried about. Things that I'm anxious about. Things that I'm struggling with. Beautiful brachos that I have. Just to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The greatness, or at least one of the forms of greatness of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, was this ability to just talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as one person would talk to their parent, as a person would talk to a friend. That straight dialogical connection. Okay, well, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with the rest of this Gemara on Monday.